Okay, well, good morning once again. I didn't get a call that said we don't want you back, so I guess you guys endured last week and you're ready for another round. Let us pray. Not to us, Lord, no, not to us, but to thy name be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Well, if you were here last week, and even if you weren't, I left this congregation with a thought that God sometimes requires us to remain part of our community and do the will of God right where we are, even when we would rather not do so. Remember the once howling, horror-filled demoniac. He wanted to go with Jesus the moment that he was healed, but he was turned down. Jesus said to him, "No, you can't go with me, but instead go back to town, go and tell your friends and your family what God has done for you." And as I was thinking over that this past week, I thought of two questions for us to ponder this morning, for the people of Grace UCC to ponder. Once these questions have been asked today, I hope that they spur you on a little bit on your spiritual journey this week as you think through just what it means to be part of this congregation in this place at this time. And I figure that at the very least, if I can send you home with a couple of questions, then maybe you'll feel like you got your money's worth from the guest preacher. So here's the questions. First, Grace, when was the last time that you told your family and your friends what God has done for you? And the second question is, if you could ask God to give you something now, right here, what would you ask for as a community? What would you ask for as a community of Grace UCC? I'm going to look at the second question first because it runs nice and parallel along with the first Kings passage about Solomon. So, in today's story from 1 Kings 3, King Solomon is a very young man, but he's quite accomplished already. In fact, he has the whole world at his feet already. He's made an alliance with the most powerful empire of his time, which was Egypt. The verse just before what was read today, it says that he even married Pharaoh's daughter to seal the deal. He has made his own people prosperous, rebuilding their city walls, making a new palace and a new temple. Now, at this time, the temple that is being spoken of is not the one that Solomon becomes famous for having built. This is his sort of first draft, but it's still a pretty good temple. He's done all these things as such a young man, and he has great character, too, apparently, because, quoting from that scripture, it says that he was showing his love for the Lord by walking in the statutes of his father, David. So if David's sort of the ultimate hero of the Hebrew faith, then Solomon is the hero's son, and he's doing a pretty good job at this point. In a word, you could say King Solomon has it all. And then one night from heaven, there comes a dream, and God shows up in Solomon's dream, and he says to Solomon, "Ask me, Solomon, for whatever you want me to give you. Ask me for whatever you want me to give you." You know, how would you like to hear that story, or that question rather, from the God of the whole universe? I mean, this is better than the genie, right? What do you want? Ask for whatever you want me to give you, Solomon. Now, here's an important little quick exegetical note. This is an ancient story understood by ancient people. This is not a question being asked of a single man. This is a question being asked of a king, King Solomon. King Solomon is the one who represents an entire kingdom of people. It's as if God had come to Pastor Mindy last night and said to her, "Ask me for whatever you want me to give Grace Church, and I will give it to them." What would you want your representative to ask of God? And I want you all to really think about that, okay? I know I've gathered from last week, you're not a talkback church, and you're not going to probably whisper to each other the answers to these questions in the sanctuary today, maybe. But if you feel like it, it's okay. And in fact, take your thoughts out into the narthex afterwards and out into the meetings tonight and ask yourselves as a group, what would we ask for if God said to us, "What? Tell me anything that you want," what would that be? See, I'm really curious. I get the joy of going around sometimes to preach at different churches like this, and I'm always curious about the similarities and the differences, and I'm curious about what you might have to say. So I challenge you to wonder out loud with one another what you would ask. Now, I know the answers would be different, probably, right? I think this sanctuary is amazing, and so I doubt that many of you would come to the conclusion that you would ask God for a new sanctuary. This is beautiful, fantastic. However, I'm assuming that the fiscal folks among you, I got to meet one today, might ask God for a little wad of cash to keep this place up and in tip-top shape, right? On the other hand, a lot of people might immediately go for a common answer that we hear a lot in today's mainline older churches. Something like, send us young families with oodles of children, just like the good old days, right? And still others of a more empathetic nature might perceive places where there are community wounds inside this church that still need healing. Whatever the initial answer might be, or even the answers that you end up parsing together out there in the narthex or at some meeting tonight or this week, the fact that God offers you this opportunity is not the real mind blower of this scenario. God not only wants to know what you want, but God intends to give it to you. That's the mind blower. That's right. The very creator of the whole universe loves us so much that God's intention is to discover what we want, not to tell us what we need, and to actually deliver that to our communities of faith. Can you believe it? There's a theologian and a teacher named Walter Brueggemann who actually lives down the road in Cincinnati and has been a person who's influenced my wife and I a lot over the years, and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people probably. When I was at Duke, he was there briefly, and it was said of him that Walter Brueggemann never had a thought that didn't get published. Walter regularly reminds Christians that God, our God, is not a God of scarcity, but of abundance. He notes that so often in our modern American mindset, we focus on what our congregation does not have, money, children, that we forget that with God, we have and we get everything that is needed. Principle comes straight out of the Hebrew text, and Brueggemann is a Hebrew scholar, an Old Testament scholar. Take the Solomon story today, for instance, okay? So go back to little King Solomon, who's not so little, by the way. He's, you know, pretty accomplished young man. It's often interpreted this way, this text, that Solomon is such an amazing guy that he knew not to ask for riches for himself, or for the death of his enemies, or for long life, implying that if we were given this same question, those are the things we would ask for. But no, Solomon was such a great guy that he only asked for wisdom. Wisdom. In fact, our whole understanding of King Solomon is based on this one episode. What word is always associated with King Solomon? Wisdom. I got you to talk back. Yay. We discover that this passage, however, is less about Solomon's shrewd choice than it is about God's abundant character and boundless generosity. Let me say that one more time, and then I'll see if I can explain it. This passage, despite the way it's been interpreted over and over again, can also be interpreted to say that it's less about how shrewd Solomon is about choosing the right thing to make God happy, and more about God's abundant character and boundless generosity. It was curious to me reading at this time, for instance, that there's not really a question there. God pretty much shows up in his dream and says, "Tell me what you want." He doesn't say, "If you ask me what you want, maybe I'll give it to you." No, he says, "Tell me what you want. What do you need, man? Let's get this show on the road. What do you want?" This is God's initiative, not Solomon's. You see, after Solomon made his ask and God granted the wisdom to him, we have story upon story about Solomon's wisdom. In fact, I think it's even said that he wrote Ecclesiastes, the book of wisdom. But anyway, we have story upon story of that. But even after that was granted to King Solomon, God went ahead and gave Solomon everything else, even the stuff he didn't ask for. God's generosity. In fact, quoting 1 Kings again, it says, "I will give you, Solomon, both riches and honor, so that in your lifetime you shall have no equal among kings." God's generosity. Remember, this promise, again, is not just to a single man who had a shrewd, answer. This is a promise to a king, and therefore it is a promise to the people who follow that king, and even to those of us who have come since and after that king. "Not only will I give you what you ask, but I will give you everything you didn't ask that is needed." Now, that brings us back to Grace, Grace Church. Can I believe this? Can you believe this? Can anybody really totally understand the immensity of this abundance? Not only does God want us to tell divinity what we want, but the divine one is and already has granted all that is needed and so much more. And so much more. And none of it comes because of our merit as a community. None of it comes because of our merit as a community. This is God's initiative. We do not have to do anything but truly wonder and decide together what is needed here at Grace UCC in Lancaster, Ohio in 2018, and it is there. If we can quit micromanaging God, then we will see the depth and the breadth of the complete, unimaginable free gift that is already this community, already this church. Do a checklist with me. Take some stock, okay? Do you have a beautiful sanctuary? Check. Are there children here to love each week? Yeah. Are there wounds that need healed, both inside the congregation and outside in the streets around it? Are there people here with gifts and love for the Lord? And can you, each individual, I'll get individual just for a second, can each of you quiet the challenges and the hurts of the week before when you are here doing the Lord's work as a member of Grace UCC? I bet you can. Abundance. Abundance, not scarcity. And that brings us back to the first question. Now that you've gotten stock of what you have and you've beginning to think about what you might ask for, here's the next question. The question number two is, I feel like a game show. Grace UCC When was the last time you told your family and friends what God has done for you? Have you mentioned the abundance that we just checked off that you have here to anybody else, any others recently? When was the most recent time that you shared your money, your talents, your joy, your hurt, your assurance of forgiveness with others? I know you have programs and missions going on here, and so I know you do that. But I'm asking you to conjure those times and remember them with sacredness in your heart. Take some time this week and take one another aside and talk about it. Talk about it. When was the last time you gave grace's grace away to others? And I can't help but go back to our old friend from last week because he's just so intriguing to me. Remember, he was told, that Gerasene demoniac, once he was healed, to go back home and to tell them what God has done for him. And I wonder, how did he do that? How did he do that? How did he do the challenge that God, through Jesus Christ, gave him to do? Did he go back, perhaps, and preach it? Maybe he stood on a soapbox in the village green and told them all about how he was possessed. And maybe he preached it. Maybe he gathered the children together like David just did and came up with a song to sing about it. Maybe he's kind of a businessman once he got his suit and tie back on. And he went to the pig herders, who all remember were so angry at having lost their livelihood. And maybe he said, hey, give up on the pigs. There's a ton of rock at the edge of town. Let's go learn how to quarry it and make money that way. There's so many things that you can use your imagination to wonder about how he would have gone back to tell and to show his folks what it was, the gift that he'd been given. And so, by extension, there is also many things, I'm sure, that can be said and asked for and done to show the grace that's here. Here's a couple ideas. You already share your building, I know, with me, thank you very much, and with the Weight Watchers people. But is there another way? And I'm just pulling at this. I don't know your community. I just know what I hear on the news. Is there some way to share this building with those who are being crushed by the opioid crisis only blocks away from the church doors? Certainly you've welcomed me, but are there more folks out there that you know or know of that are hurting and still have yet to be reached? I know there are people who feel that they do not have enough, that they do not do enough, that they truly are not good enough to be loved. But we've got a different story to tell them, don't we? We have a way different story to tell them, a story that comes from our faith. For we know that God does not keep score. God's abundance is mind-blowing. And like Solomon, God wants to know what we want. He wants to know what we want. God wants to give us what is needed. God does not promise riches to those who follow, but God does know what is needed for the road ahead that we will travel together. Solomon needed wisdom to rule his people. What is it that grace needs in their road ahead? What will that something be? And remember, our faith not only grants us this abundance, but it also grants us the way to move forward. As confusing and strange and weird as those words about John and eating flesh and blood and all that read, at the heart of all of John's imagery is this. Jesus is the bread of life, the very stuff that sustains us along the way. Jesus is the bread of life. This is what is provided to those who discern what their purpose and their mission may be in their own hometown and at their own front door. And so my prayer for you all is to continually pause in the midst of the life of your wonderful congregation and reflect on your answers to our two questions. What abundant life, what abundant gifts have been given to you? And how will you activate God's Spirit in your daily and weekly work together to share this abundance with those in need around you? All the resources are waiting there for you to ask. Amen. Before I end, I would like to lead into a prayer. This may be a prayer time. I forget how it goes. Yeah, okay. So I want to read a prayer from Walter Brueggemann, the man I mentioned, that is about this sort of theme, I think. These prayers come from Brueggemann's 42 years of being a teacher and a pastor. And he was a UCC ordained clergyman. And then I think he switched to Episcopalian or something later on in his career. But he knows us. This is called a prayer called We Are Takers. And what I'll do is go from this, I believe, into the congregational prayer. Okay. Gracious God, you are the giver of all good gifts. All good things are sent from heaven above. Rain and sun, day and night, justice and righteousness, bread to the eater and seed to the sower, peace to the old, energy to the young, joy to the babes. We are takers who take from you day by day, daily bread, taking all we need as you supply, taking in gratitude and wonder and joy, and then taking more than we need, taking more than you give us, taking from our sisters and brothers, taking from the poor and the weak, taking because we are frightened and oh so greedy, taking because we are anxious and oh so fearful, and taking because we are driven and oh so uncaring. Give us peace, Lord, beyond our fear, and so end our greed. Give us well-being beyond our anxiety, and so end our fear. Give us abundance beyond our drivenness, and so end our uncaring. Turn our taking into giving, since we are in your giving image. Make us giving like you, giving gladly and not taking, giving in abundance and not taking, giving in joy and not taking, giving as he gave himself up for us all, giving, 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 never taking.